Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host that definitely listened to the episode, Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode, Amnesty, episode 32.
All right, episode 32. We're getting down to it, guys. You want a synopsis?
I would love one of them hot synopses. Synopsisize.
Hot synopse.
Nope. Hate it.
Bad. Ah, dunk. It's episode 31.
Oh, damn it. I repeated your false claim.
So trusting, always.
It's one of my few faults. All right. So, in this episode, I think, like, there were really, like, five scenes?
Yeah. That sounds right.
The first one is they're still trying to come up with a plan, and the Mothman is telling everybody how dumb their plan is.
Just kind of doing our job for us, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Our job is meta. Because we get to tell him about how bad he was doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't think they ended up on a real strong plan, but we'll get there. Number two... Second scene, everybody goes and talks to the Hornets, who are either 14-year-olds on dirt bikes or 34-year-olds on motocross bikes.
But at least they wear helmets.
What's the difference?
Like 20 years, man.
Yeah, I set myself up for that one.
Yeah. Yes. Then... In some order that I can't quite remember, Aubrey goes to the sheriff. Thacker goes to see Juno. And Duck goes to see Muffy and
Winthrop.
I would very much like his name to be Walthrop now.
What?
Walthrop.
I don't know who these people are. It's just, I don't. Anyway, so that's very high-level synopsis. Some shit happens in each of those scenes, but let's break it down.
Can we start with Muffy and Winthrop? Because I think that's the most buckwild pull of the whole thing.
I think we should absolutely start there.
They were like nothing character, at least to my recollection. Maybe I'm missing at some point when they even like would have come to Duck's mind. But, like, Muffy and Winthrop were just random characters that were on the funicular, and now Duck has created this whole crazy shadow society for them to be in. I'm assuming out of nowhere, because it seems like it caught Griffin by surprise.
Yeah, Griffin didn't know where that was going.
My question is, why didn't they pull these stunts earlier? We could have so many questions answered if Justin would just make them up.
Right.
Just, you know, it's like, Justin, take the wheel.
Yeah, just trust in Justin. In Justin, I trust.
WWJMD.
Yeah, I mean, you could still be WWJD, but I guess you should specify which Justin.
Drust?
No.
Anyway...
That's nothing stopping.
I think it's great. I wish he had done this just so much earlier. Just like, oh, and then we walk into their house, and there on the table is the book with all of the answers we're looking for.
Right. Yeah, it's canon now. He said it. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, Griffin, you wanted to make this a collaborative world building.
I go over to Agent Stern and I take his badge, which has on the back written the code to the secret gate.
He has a what now?
Whoever holds this badge shall have the power of Agent Stern.
It's perfect.
It's actually just the one ring. They just put it on and
What if Agent Stern's badge is like his totem item and he's actually a Sylvan?
That is the best theory I've heard for why he's in this show.
We don't have any like strong connection between him and his badge, but it sounds like we're making one now, and so that's good.
And that's this show happens, so.
Yeah, it's canon.
We are role-playing our roles as listeners.
We spoke it into truth.
We gotta ask upon Mother Gaia to make our magic work.
And by Gaia, you mean Sylvain, right?
No, we're on Earth.
Are you all right, Jake?
Are we?
Tell me about how your house is a box again, Jake.
I mean, yes, Jake, we are on Earth. What is that question?
Jake just suddenly became a moon truther, but in a very weird way. Not the way most of the internet talks about it.
Nah, we've been on the moon the whole time, guys. They were trying to trick you.
We've never landed on Earth.
That's it. That's where the real stuff is. Yeah, so not a lot comes out of the Muffy and Winthrop scene other than it just being hilarious and good.
That they're just poachers.
Right.
Now,
a secret society of poachers.
Now, what did they say what they hunt?
They want to hunt man.
Well, I mean, it sounded like they were just hunting. Like, the way Duck brought it up was like, oh yeah, well, I know you're hunting endangered species. I was really hoping he was going to go for an angle there where they hunted Sylvans.
Yeah. So
like,
I was like,
yeah.
I will
Bigfoot hunters.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I can give you a lead about Bigfoot if you work with me. You know, considering.
So he'd be like giving up Barclay?
I mean, I don't think he.
How devious.
Yes.
Yeah, he would not have done it without talking to Barclay, but.
Heathcliff is not the only person who can peddle in human souls.
Right.
Or Sylvan souls.
As the case may be.
Doug just takes a. Take some notes. So the trick is you don't even tell the person. You just do it.
Right, you just do it. Right, more doing. He's a man of action sometimes.
Yeah. I mean animals
man
don't know
that. Action and skitching.
Skitching is an action.
Yeah, but he likes to have it called out just to sort of flesh out his CV.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't blame him. That's a good call.
That's very good.
Should we move on from Muffy and Winthrop?
Yeah, do we want to work our way backwards, talk about Aubrey's interaction with the sheriff?
Yeah.
Which to me was fluff. The real interaction there was finally getting to see Deputy Dewey again, because remember how it was a big deal that he died and became a ghost and then we never saw him again?
Yeah, now he hangs out in the closet. Because he likes it in there.
It reminds me of the coffin I never got to know.
Right.
I had a nice one picked out. It was walnut. Silk lined. Tufted. But, you know, with those little buttons.
I was really looking forward to it.
Would have been soft.
That's where all the other ghosts hang out, in their coffins.
He got robbed. Dewey was robbed.
That would suck, though, to be, like, a ghost stuck in a coffin. And you're just like... bored.
Do you think that's what happens in a cemetery? Is just like a whole bunch of ghosts silently going bored, just all together.
There's
I wish
nothing,
anyone would have buried me with cribbage.
There's nothing to do.
Always look on the bright side of death.
I still don't understand how Aubrey ever got out of prison or jail.
When was she in?
She saved Deputy Dewey's life by letting him turn into a ghost.
Sending him to Chicago.
sending him to Chicago. Right. And then when she, like, regained her consciousness or whatever, she was locked up. And then we went to the next episode and it was all resolved.
Well, isn't the tail end? I thought that occurred simultaneously with the duck skitching monster fighting thing. So I'm assuming she just magicked her way out while all the cops were gone.
Well, no, Dewey unlocks the cell, because that's the big reveal. It's like, you see a spectral hand, pick up, and it's Dewey.
Oh, that's right.
You used a luck point to keep him alive, so I turned him into a ghost.
He's a ghost. Fuck your luck. Spooky ghost.
And then, so somebody locked her up.
And then it would have been Sheriff Zeke.
Or Detective Megan.
Or Detective Megan. And then she got out and was like, oh, that's cool. It's cool. No biggie. Don't worry about it.
I mean, they might have just gone, you know, no harm, no foul. You sort of saved this guy.
That is often what cops do.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what TV has taught me for sure.
You know what? No harm, no foul. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
It's all fine. It's all fine.
It's cool. Maybe she's their version of the Pontiac Bandit.
It's very good. I understand. Gosh, that's a great crossover. Yeah. We should. I don't know how to make that happen, but boy, howdy!
It's coming
too. Yeah, I think the Aubrey and Sheriff scene. Like, I guess they get the sheriff's cooperation, which is important, but it seems like that was probably going to happen anyway, given the natural tension between him and the federal agencies and all this sort of jazz. So it's just nice to know that Deputy Dewey's going to be a part of the finale.
Well, and not to go too far back in time too quickly, but what is their plan? Their plan is so bad that what is the sheriff going to do?
Guns. Shoot them. Maybe arrest some folks.
Three guys with guns versus the FBI.
And sort of the thing that I keep coming back to is usually it's pretty easy to, you know, it really feels like the government agency is corrupt or being the bad guys. I kind of think they have a point here.
Yeah, maybe just
Just turn a mountain upside down and there are monsters now. So I feel like the FBI is probably a little justified, and maybe we should be talking to them, yes.
But I don't know that the FBI would be the organization that would be there.
Oh, no, it'd be the Men in Black, definitely, but...
Well, I mean, maybe, but, I mean, wouldn't, like, the National Guard be called out? The West Virginia National Guard, I don't think they would just send in the FBI. Maybe the FBI would be there in some form or facet, but... There are other federal agencies that I think would be, you know, Department of Homeland Security is going to have some people there. The Air Force running routes, the Postal Service just all over looking for that mailboxes.
I heard postal inspectors are pretty hardcore. So, I mean, maybe that's who you want. Maybe they can get the Postal Service on the side of the Sylvans, you know. Maybe they can be the good guys.
Yeah, where is... Janice, the lady from like episode 2 who came into the Cryptonomica with an eviction notice.
She should come back. That would be the greatest thing. I hope she shows up in the finale.
Now, I guess we never talked about the fact that for good reason, Ned was getting evicted from a building he owned.
Not quick, I guess.
Also, Didn't like that old lady give him the building?
It did seem that way.
So
I think there's some sort of world building that happened on the fly, and then
I think the biggest open thread of this entire thing is who owns the Cryptonomica building.
Maybe the Cryptonomica building is more like ephemeral than we think it is. Maybe it isn't really owned by a person so much as it becomes theirs for a brief period of time before it's needed elsewhere.
It's like the gate. Like the Cryptonomica is always where the gate is.
Yeah. And they sort of bounce through. There was a young adult book in like elementary school that was about a disappearing pet shop or something. Did y'all read that?
The I'm trying to remember the name. Like the ephemeral pet, like the shit, I can't come up with a good portmanteau for it on the fly.
That's good. I'm gonna do some quick Googling. Y'all discuss something else.
I mean, we could discuss the Magic Treehouse because those were dope books.
I don't bother.
You know,
Googling disappearing pet shot does not give me what I want.
What does it give you? It's not important.
Maybe it wasn't a pet shop.
So I don't know what their plan is of getting these like six people on their side and like, congratulations, you've got six people with two guns. And you know who they need to get on their side is Pigeon. She's crazy.
Well, isn't Pigeon in with the Hornets, sort of, kind of?
No. I thought Zeke had her locked up because she killed Ned.
Well, that would make sense. It is murder.
And he'd be like, look, maybe that's all they need is... Zeke, all we need you to do is let Pigeon out.
Yeah, that could be it.
He's like, look... I know you don't know me or Clint or Justin, but we need to be saved by a competent woman.
Right. Those are the rules of this sort of setup.
Mom is locked up, so we need Pigeon.
Right. I mean, all of this is ultimately building towards a mama ex machina kind of Deus ex mama sort of situation.
No, I think somebody else is going to assume the role of mama. And it's going to be Pigeon.
I mean, it's going to be Aubrey.
Nah, it's going to be Pigeon.
No, I mean, if anyone's going to take over the Pine Guard, it's going to be Aubrey. She's the one who has, like, sort of the lore background.
Pigeon's going to take off her bracelet and become a giant bird, giant pigeon.
That is oddly terrifying.
So, no, 100%.
I don't know that we need to touch on the Thacker Juno scene, because that...
was pointless.
Yeah, it doesn't really have doesn't a lot. Juno's gonna help. That's great.
How can I help? Just don't hurt.
Yeah, just stay out of the way. And I guess she's gonna tell them how to get around some tracking sensors or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. They Griffin came up with that for.
Yeah, so that's sort of let that out. But I want to get into now the scene with the Hornets because I thought at the end. That we were going to learn who's the second lieutenant guy?
Keith.
That Keith was Sylvan. I thought that was going to be a great moment where he's like, we're not going to do it. And then Keith steps forward and is like, actually, I'm a lizard.
Yeah, but what if...
But all he did was pick up his helmet.
Yeah, but see, wouldn't it have been so much more impactful if, you know, a beloved character... turned into a seal instead of something cool, like that would have been good, right?
Whoa, Jake, don't seal shame.
Yeah, I mean, seals are animals too.
Do you know how many seals are listeners of this podcast?
You're right. We don't get those kind of metrics. I would love to meet our seal listeners.
There's probably none.
I mean, you don't know. Sometimes ships might play our podcast underwater to drive away animals.
it's also effective crowd control.
Yeah, it just sort of really disperses all the seals when they need to clean the rocks or whatever.
Is that what the Navy does? I've never been sure.
I think that's a Coast Guard job. That's why they got the big water cannons on the front.
Oh, yeah, makes sense. Get rid of the seals, clean the rocks. And that's it. That's the Coast Guard.
That's it. Guarding the coast from bacteria.
from bacteria. I do think that would. I didn't expect Keith to become or be a. Although, what if he like was a self and he took off and he turned into like whatever version of the self he is, but like it's not that different. Like he takes it off and. The color of his eyes change.
Yeah, his ears are just slightly bigger.
Yeah. It's like, see? It's also me. It's like, dude, nothing changed. No, my eyes went from steel blue to steel gray.
I saw you go behind that sheet and put contacts in. What are you talking about?
I think that's how that scene should have played out. Just
it does. Yeah. I mean, well, it's, you know, it would have made a lot more sense than the sort of sudden turn of events of like, okay, I guess we're doing it now because everybody else has been convinced. Because it doesn't happen on like a roll necessarily. It just sort of we need them to be on their side for the story to advance. So the rank and file are going to rise up and say we're in.
And also, like two episodes ago, Griffin had already established that they were on their side. So
right. So that is a question that I'm struggling with timeline wise, because it seemed like in our first episode after the destruction of Mount Kepler, like everybody knew everything and were kind of working together to keep the town from going to pieces.
And they were like secreting the sylphs around and
for some reason. I don't get it.
And now two episodes after that, we're like finally talking to everybody for the first time.
Well, so
it's like a continuity error. I may give the editor a note.
No, I totally agree. Here's a question though. I think Jake, you're right. They were secreting the sylphs around, but I don't understand why.
Especially because they're just people?
Yeah, they're just people. You don't have to shepherd them around. Like, unless they're taking off their sylvan tokens or totems or whatever. Like, they just look like people.
Yeah.
Why do you have to... But hey, guys,
people that had to keep going to H2O, that is fun.
Off-season.
Off-season, frequently.
And they're not annual pass holders.
But why? I don't understand why. We have established that there are like 30 goddamn water parks in this town.
It also then unfortunately begs the question of when the hot tub stops working, why didn't they just go there?
Maybe they moved it. Maybe they turned on.
Did they dig a new addition to the water park?
It's like a fun spirit valve kind of thing.
Yeah.
The water park was destroyed. Why didn't they go to a working water park?
Or the river.
Yeah.
Isn't there a river through the middle of town?
I think so. But I don't remember the map.
Hot take. Bathtub. Everybody's got one.
That's not true. I don't have one.
Owned.
Hot take. I just got showers.
Bathtub. Everybody but Colin has one.
Well, I mean, now we're getting awful granular.
Yeah. I think
that's the definition of this podcast.
I did think it was strange that, like, the FBI rolls into town, they lock down the town, just like you said, Chris.
And they
like,
don't collect everyone's bathtubs.
This is, when the FBI rolled into my town, the first thing they do is, like, turn over your bathtubs, man. And we're like, but we gotta stay clean. And they're like, no.
We want to be able to smell you when you come.
So we're testing out our smell-o-vision.
I can see you and smell you. It's working.
Do you know how much we paid for these canines? They got to be able to smell you.
And they're not very good at their jobs, so we're going to just sort of musk you up a little bit.
Yeah. That's I hate it when the FBI shows up. I'm like, boy, we're going to musk you up. Like, oh, what is...
real bad.
What does that even mean? It means take your bathtub. It's terrible.
It's the only way you know how to clean yourself. You'll never figure out anything else. No, also, your garden hose. Give me that.
Because, like, okay, we're used to taking showers and baths and stuff, and so we look around us on ways to clean ourselves, and all we see are the way animals do it. So we all just sit there and start licking ourselves. Like it's
we
actually
see a junkyard full of bathtubs, and we see a rainstorm gathering overhead. We see the bathtubs fill with crystal clear blue water, perfectly positioned, but no one around. We see a stinky man sitting on a hill, staring longingly at his garden hose.
I'm sorry, did you say stinky or sticky?
Yep.
I was going to ask the same thing, but didn't want to interrupt Chris's rhythm, so I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt.
He's stinky, and he's been trying to cover it up by eating a lot of nerd's rope.
That's fair.
And now he's very sticky too.
Actually, that seems like a poor plan. Is nerd's rope have a pleasant odor?
No. He's right. Real dumb, this man I've created.
Because he's been all mussed up.
But he thinks since it's fruit flavored, it'll make him smell, you know, sort of like a fresh bouquet of fresh basket of fruit.
I mean, I don't. When they say fruit flavored, how come they don't specify which fruit?
Because they don't want to answer that question specifically. Like, which fruit is it? Ah, some.
You eat those things, and it's like no fruit I've ever had. You know,
it's they more want you to interpret the fruit. You know, it's like, what fruit is it? It's like, well, what fruit do you taste? I don't know, mango. Yep. That's what one fruit, of them.
What fruit do you want it to be?
Yeah. Right. What do you think it tastes like? That's it. You nailed it. You're the best. Look at how good you are at fruit flavors. Like go to crack team?
Fruit adjacent product.
I think when I think fruit adjacent, I think vegetables.
I mean,
fruit flavored candy is pretty far. what podcast are we reviewing?
I don't know, but maybe we should start doing some sort of food cast. Because now I'm hungry.
Food and bathtubs.
And food tub.
Yeah, so this thing happened like 2 months ago, and they're just now, like, they're like, look, some big bad thing happened, shit's starting to pop up, we're at the time for a hunt, but let's wait until we got like 12 hours and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there is. And it, like, how in the course of sort of going about, I guess, whatever the fuck it is that the Four Chosen are doing all the time, have they avoided the sheriff?
Yeah, I don't know, but they did a good job of it.
How is it that there is a precognitive psychic Sylvan who, for dramatic timing, decides to wait until the last minute to show up?
Well, we've always been given that Indrid doesn't get views that far out, necessarily.
Yeah, but it seems like coming around couldn't have hurt.
Right, just sort of being in the area.
Yeah, especially because he can fly.
Yeah, I did like that out of, like, he's just going to carry people up to topside. That's probably fine.
I loved it. I think we're getting to the point where Griffin doesn't give a shit. He just wants it to end. He
needs to wrap this thing up.
He probably originally had it so like the hunt would last as long as the other hunts. Like, you got a couple weeks. It's like, no, fuck it. You got like 12 hours. Let's get this show on the road.
I like to kind of imagine that Griffin just got like a big whiteboard full of loose ends to his left while they're recording. And when something comes up that does, I was like, yep, that one's done. Cross that one off the list. Wrap that one up. All right, now how do people feel about funiculars? It's currently broken. Stays broken? Great. Done. Dunk.
Yeah, wait, I'm sorry. Were you waiting for the funicular loose end to be wrapped up?
Hey, man. I'm just saying they started repairs on it. And now, are they still repairing it? Or are they going to wait? Because like, there's not really a mountain to go up to anymore.
Well, also, like, the mountain, what happened? It, like, got picked up and then set back down, right?
Well, they said it's more of a mesa now, so it sounds like it sort of collapsed into, like, a flat-top mountain.
Oh, that's nice. Usually you got to go out west for those mesas.
Now there's one right here on the eastern-ish coast.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's a tourist attraction.
That's true. They'll be able to make that money back real quick once they get the FBI out of town.
Damn FBI, always prevent people from making money.
I was just kind of excited for the prologue at this point when we get, you know, a year from now and there's just a huge new water park on top of Mount Kepler that takes up the whole thing and it's magical, literally.
The 27th water park of Kepler, West Virginia.
Yeah, it's got a gold star on it because it's the bestest and they slide down the mountain because gravity.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not going to be able to come up with a good name for it, though. Because, like, they took all of them.
No, all the good ones are used. It'd just be called Splash Town.
Maybe it's just, like, H3WO. No. That Splash was Town's
taken.
Just Mount Kepler Water Park. .com.
This is where the water lives.
/ Bandcamp.
Check out my SoundCloud. It's just called Check Out My SoundCloud. The kids get it. Come vape here.
Like and subscribe.
Vape ocean.
Please rate us on iTunes.
Smash that tide pool.
It's bad. It's super bad. Should we talk about the first scene where they're doing? I guess we kind of already are because they waited till they had 12 hours till their death to talk about anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to chalk that up to just sort of bad timeline management. Also, when did we discover, like, when do we fully buy into the Doctor being one of the Chosen?
I mean, I think it was when Minerva, like, opened that connection.
Yeah, so Leo and Duck are chosen because they have a wormhole to Minerva in their brain, which sounds an awful lot like the fucking midichlorians or whatever from, like,
or you the Animorphs, the slugs. If we can go back to Animorphs for another episode.
Yeah, I didn't watch Animorphs or read them. Well, I mean, you watch a book.
Yeah, this is a very exciting book. It just sort of sits there.
Well, I mean, you watch it page after page and word after word, and you anyway. I'm not going to win that argument.
Nope.
So I guess she opened up a worm, but isn't Minerva a chosen?
Yeah.
So where's she? If other people are chosen because they have a wormhole to Minerva in their brains,
I don't know that one precipitates the other.
No, it definitely does. That's what they say. Leo comes out and specifically tells Duck, we have this, we get our powers from this connection to Minerva in our brains. Yeah, we have a tiny right little wormhole. So to whom does Minerva have a wormhole?
To Duck and Leo.
No, but I'm saying there has to be, like, Duck and Leo and Sarah are her, like, chosen children.
Oh, yeah. This is a pyramid scheme.
Who's, well, no, I think.
Who's on her own?
No. Yeah, no, right. I think, I prefer to think of it as more of a reverse funnel. It's just, there has to be, like, a grand chosen. Like, you know, the person who chose Minerva. Otherwise, she's not
a person. We're just positive that person's wife is definitely alive and healthy.
What?
Jake, I missed. You got a little murdery there for a minute. got something you want to talk to us about?
Yes.
What if we pivoted to be a true crime podcast? That's hot right now.
Yeah, it's super hot.
Poof. Yeah.
What if we review true crime podcasts? That's more.
No, we commit the crimes. That's how we know they're true.
That's a terrible
Jake,
idea.
Jake, again, we're still recording.
super murdery.
This is going to tape.
But what if we just talk about true Kepler crime?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of vandalism. Nope.
Shot the raccoon
again.
We're going to do a side role play as Sheriff Zeke and his sort of merry band of misfit deputies.
Fucking Deputy Dewey floating around trying to pick up trash, but he can't because he's non-corporeal. He's just, I can't fucking do anything. I'm a ghost.
Ghost cop.
Is a terrible cop.
I mean, the first time he goes to handcuff somebody is going to be pretty funny, though. Because he's going to have ghost handcuffs, and he's just going to fall through them.
The title of that show is Habeas Corpus.
That's definitely a ghost lawyer, right?
Ghost Law and Order. There are two parts.
Yeah. First part law, second part. So something with like Miranda.
First part ghost, second part ghosts.
Miranda ghosts. Miranda rights. Ghost rights. Dead to rights.
I don't know. Ooh. I think you were onto something with Ghost Miranda.
Ghost Miranda.
Isn't Sex that a the character? Yeah, I was going to say, isn't Sex that a character? The spinoff?
They're all dead.
Ghost Sex in the City. Ew.
Ghost Carrie and Ghost Samantha were a little busy.
So Ghost Deputy Dewey and Ghost Miranda have a big night on the town.
Yeah, in Kepler, which...
And, yeah, they go on a ski vacation in August. What? Because they're ghosts. And they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, sliding down some ghost snow.
Here's the thing I always struggle with. If ghosts can move through things, why don't they fall through the earth?
Because they can float at any point. Like, they're not relying on gravity. They can just float anywhere in the universe.
So they're just, like, constantly exerting a small amount of will to be like, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm this high off of nothing.
Exactly. And so it makes it so, like, when they go to ghost sleep and they stop exerting that force, they just wake up, like, you know.
I'm on Mars again. Shit.
Yeah, they're over, like, on the moon and shit. Like, oh, fuck. It's going to take me so long.
Is that why the moon is haunted?
Yeah, because people, they fall there while they sleep, and they're like, nah, it's too far.
So it's just a bunch of really cranky ghosts who are all waking up and be like, fuck, yeah. I need ghost coffee, and I'm several thousand miles away.
There's no ghost Starbucks anywhere.
I like how they're several thousand miles away. Like that's it. Like, no, if they're on the moon, they're several... Shit, I don't know how far away. Several hundred thousand miles away?
No, Colin, you don't understand.
This bit literally happened on an episode of Wonderful. We can't do this.
They're only thousand ghost miles away.
Oh, ghost mile.
You forgot the like nautical version. Mile.
I didn't know it was the ghost moon.
Ghost moon. Ghost moon.
I miss our ghost moon. It's a full ghost moon tonight. Yeah, should we talk more about how... Jake Cool Ice is a seal.
No, I really don't want to talk about that anymore.
No, Jake's sad about it. He's gonna have to change his Twitter handle. It's gonna be a whole thing.
I love it. He's just a bipedal seal.
Yep,
a beal.
A bipeal. How long do you think Griffin's been sitting on that one, just waiting to bust it out?
If it's any longer than, like, 10 minutes, it's too long.
No, because he had, like, he had the whole, like, and then you see his wet black nose sprout out and whiskers and...
Yeah.
He, you know, that was, like, episode 3 he probably came up with the character for Jake Cool Ice.
But why is he a seal?
Because he's got ice
There's
in his
no
name.
Seal lore, is there? Like Bigfoot, vampire, ghost, seal?
Well, so they did say, like, animals would just go over into Sylvain and then become, like, sentient. And that's why you have, like, squirrels and other...
So Jake Cool Ice was a seal who accidentally swam through the gate and then became sentient and skateboarding and came back to Earth.
His ancestors went through the gate as seals and then turned into seal people.
Turned into bipedal seals.
Yeah, yep, exactly. But that wasn't when the gate was in Kepler, because there are no seals in West Virginia. Yeah, it's when it was in New York City. Tons of seals in New York City.
Right in the middle of Central Park Zoo. It's the plot of Madagascar 4.
Well, I mean, back in the day, seals used to be as common in New York City as rats.
You know what they said? New Amsterdam, catch a cab, catch a seal.
Yeah, well, back in the day, seals powered the cabs.
Yeah, like, seal cabs.
Like, yeah, rickshaws.
Right, just sort of swim because it was all canals, like Venice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a rickshaw. Yeah. You guys are just having a really good time, and I wanted to be involved, and it wasn't good, but I said
just
it.
Fucking full stop. Just riff, 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 riff. Hey, guys. Rick Seal. Fucking nailed it. Fucking 100%.
It's awesome, man. I love it. This is how we get that comedy tag.
Earning it every time I write it. How many episodes do you think they got left?
Maybe two. I think they've recorded the end.
I don't think they've recorded the end. I think they've recorded. They haven't they've probably recorded the right up to the conflict with the big bad. And then the last episode. So I think it will be an episode of breaking in, getting past the FBI, something goes bad. Then an episode of figuring out what the hell's going on in whatever this other world is, which leads up to them finding out the key, like the piece that holds it all together, the big bad or whatever, right at the end of that second episode, then it gets resolved in a third episode.
Theme. Sure. I'll agree. I think I agree with Jake that it's three, but I do think they have them all. Either they have them all recorded right now or they haven't recorded any of those three. Because if I were them, I would want to record those three episodes as close together as possible to sort of keep that energy. Because if they put two of them down and then do this whole book tour, Comic-Con fall tour thing, like they're going to be like, 2 months ago, what were we doing? And it'll just be all like they're going to lose any of the story momentum they had.
That's why I think they've recorded them all. They'll release them, release a bunch of live shows from this tour, and then be like, and now we're going to figure out what we do next.
Yeah.
And then take like a 2 month hiatus, and then I don't know, come back with something else. But yeah, I two or three, I don't think they have many left. I think they're going to try and carry out this plan, and the FBI is going to shoot them all because it's a terrible plan. It's going to be like,
that'd be a fun end if they all die. Bold move.
Sorry, do you guys think we were going to be, like, distracted by some boys riding by on bikes?
By six stunts? Yeah.
I don't know. It does open up, like, a whole ghost world option.
That is the thing. The FBI is notoriously easy to distract.
I've heard that before.
Jake, would love if they all die and are on a ghost world. And nothing ever gets resolved.
And Amnesty Season 2 is ghost hunters. But, like, they're not looking for ghosts. They're hunters who are ghosts.
They are hunters who are ghosts.
And they're hunted by Muffy and Winthrop.
I kind of like that.
Could be fun.
I don't know what they shoot them with, but something.
I do think they're wrapped up by September. It feels like we got 3 weeks of this left, and then we're out of amnesty.
Yeah, I don't think they have much left in them. I think they're all kind of over it.
That or there's a whole nother hunt to be had. We got 10 episodes of this thing still coming.
I would say there is no way.
That's fair. Until we get an answer in 2 weeks, I hope you'll hit us up on Twitter and let us know what you think, or email us and tell us your thoughts. We are excited, I think, to get to the end of Amnesty, if nothing else, that I think we're ready for Amnesty to wrap up. But there's some good stories still left. I want to see how this thing ends. Are you excited? Are you done? Are you hoping we get a whole nother hunt? Should they stick around in Kepler for a while? Hit us up on Twitter @WeDoThat_pod or by email, WeDoThatPod@gmail.com. We always love to hear your thoughts and theories. Also, if you have a moment, head over to iTunes and give us a rating. Even if you just give some stars, you don't have to write anything down. It's a huge help to us to have that and help us grow our listenership a little bit, especially heading to something new. Because who knows what's going to happen next? Seems like they've got a lot going on outside of the world of the podcast. So I bet our good McElroy families are going to want to take a break. And maybe we will too. But let us know what you see coming. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, everybody.